Congregation, have you journey with us? Well, thank you. And so we're excited to be here this morning and share.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us again. We always just love, I feel like, it just feels like family in some ways when we come to visit, which is so special. Always appreciate the warm welcome from you all. So this morning, we'll be sharing a little bit, kind of first off, just kind of a recap of like why YWAM Lancaster exists and what our mission is as YWAM Lancaster, and then also more of an update on what Austin and I have been doing, what our family has been doing this past year, and then we'll also share just some prayer requests and such at the end. So yeah, we're excited to be able to share an update this morning, and then we'll have a time of questions as well. And I'll probably be jumping in and out with the kids, so thank you for your grace.
Yeah, so like Janelle said, just wanted to start. So we've been with YWAM Lancaster. YWAM, it stands for Youth with a Mission. It's an international missions organization. And we've been serving with the location here in Lancaster. And I wanted to start by saying, like, why do we even exist as YWAM Lancaster? What is our purpose? And really it boils down to is that there's 3.2 billion people in the world who have never heard of the name of Jesus, who have no access, who don't know. And the Bible is pretty clear that there's one way to the Father, and that's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there are 3.2 billion people who have never heard. And so YWAM Lancaster is committed to reaching the unreached, those who have never heard the gospel, by establishing a sustained gospel witness through planting 10 long-term teams in the next 10 years. So we want to see communities that currently have no access to the gospel be transformed as we bring the gospel to them and actually stay there and live with them and do life with them and show them what it looks like to live out the gospel and see families restored and communities transformed as the gospel comes and brings salvation to their area. So we do a lot of different programs. We do a lot of different things. We have a lot of different ministries. But what it all points back to is that there are people that need to hear about the gospel, and they haven't yet heard. And Jesus gave a command, a commission 2,000 years ago, and said, go and make disciples. And so we're committed to going and making disciples of all nations. The Lancaster region, our area, has a rich history of being a missions-sending region. This area was originally founded by the Anabaptists, the Moravians, and so instilled a rich history of zealous faith, a high value for family, and an unwavering commitment to God. And so this laid the foundation for God's Spirit to come and move and bring revival in many ways. And from this place to impact the nations of the earth. So over the years, there have been many movements where God would pour out his Spirit, draw us back to these original roots of our region, and out of that was always a missions expression. So as God came and encountered individuals, brought them back to this unwavering commitment to the Lord and the zealous faith, then there'd be an outpouring of that into the nations of the earth. And so God continues to keep Lancaster's missional calling kind of at the front and center for our region. And so it's said that per capita, Lancaster sends more people and resources into missions than anywhere else in the globe. And so it's incredible, even serving within YWAM, you go to another YWAM location or you're on outreach in the middle of the mountains of Nepal, and you run into another team there, and someone on the team is from Lancaster. And so it's just incredible to see the way that there's a legacy of this area impacting the nations through missions. And YWAM Lancaster isn't doing something new, but we're coming alongside God's heart for this region to impact the nations of the earth. Our mission statement at YWAM Lancaster is that we are a discipleship community catalyzing a movement of passionate Jesus followers to fulfill the Great Commission. So that's what we're doing. Like I said, the why of that is there's 3.2 billion people that haven't heard. So that's the motivation, and then this is what we do. So I want to break this down. There's kind of three ways that we do this, and those three ways are through mobilizing, training, and sending. And just, we'll I'll just highlight these quickly, and then we'll go into them a little more in depth. So we mobilize, and that means we intentionally call passionate Jesus followers to respond to the need by being trained and sent. So this is people, we're going to them and saying, hey, there's 3.2 billion people. We're going to give a clear call to the gospel and a clear call to the Great Commission. What is your response? And then draw them into that, and they say, hey, I think I'm going to give some time of my life to actually serve the Great Commission. And then we move them into the next thing. We say, okay, now let's train and equip you. Let's create a space for you to seek God and equip them with real skills to become a catalyst for transformation in their generation and in the nations. And then out of that, we move into the sending piece, and that's leading teams of individuals and volunteers, students to the nations for long-term impact. So we are a discipleship community catalyzing a movement of Jesus followers to fulfill the Great Commission, and we express that in three primary ways. We mobilize, we train, and we send. The mobilization aspect, we have teams that are going to youth groups, young adult groups, college campuses, universities, youth ministries in our area, but also up and down the East Coast. We're sending tour teams out for 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time, going to these groups, and they're doing two things. They're presenting a clear call to the gospel. So saying, this is the gospel. Would you lay your life down for Christ? Would you actually come into a knowledge of who Christ is as Savior and Lord of your life? And inviting people into the gospel if they're not yet believers and have experienced relationship with the Lord. And then the second thing that we're doing with those teams is we are presenting a clear call to the gospel. To say, this commission that Jesus gave us over 2,000 years ago to make disciples of all nations, let's wrestle with what is your part to play in this. And we recognize there's a variety of ways that we can engage with that. But challenging young people, challenging Gen Z, what is your part to play in the Great Commission? Gen Z right now, depending who you ask, is age 12 through like 26. Gen Z statistically is the most missional, most cause-oriented generation we've ever seen. They're willing to lay their life down for the sake of a cause, for the sake of a mission. They care more about a cause and a mission than their own comfort, than their own ego, than their own wealth or material possessions. And so the question is, what cause is Gen Z giving their life for? And so as YM Lancaster, as we mobilize, we're saying, this is a cause worth giving your life for. This is a cause worth spending the next 5, 10, 20 years of your life serving. And so we're mobilizing them for the gospel. In the past 12 months, we've done over 120 different youth events, partnering with over 70 different youth ministries. And again, this is all around how can we call people clearly to the gospel and clearly to the Great Commission. The next thing we do is train. And so we are calling, as we're calling Gen Z, say, would you give your life for the gospel? Would you give a year or 3 years or 5 years for the sake of the gospel to see the Great Commission fulfilled, to see the people that do not yet have the gospel be reached with the gospel? We say, how can we then train and equip you to do that well? How can we walk with you in an intentional discipleship to see the bondage and the brokenness that you've experienced in your life, to see you set free from that, to see you called into your identity in Christ, and actually living this out and giving them practical tools and what it looks like to be part of fulfilling the Great Commission? The primary way that we do this is through our discipleship training school. This past fall, Janelle and I worked directly with the school. The picture up here is our team. All of those are staff that we worked with, our team of students. We had 21 students. It was our largest discipleship training school at YM Lancaster so far. And so it was really fun to work directly with the students. Janelle and I, if you know some of our story, we served in youth ministry for a number of years. And so then we transitioned to YWAM, served in a variety of roles. But this past fall, we got to work with the students, having one-on-one mentors with them, walking with them through class, the things that they're learning as they're growing. And so that was really a joy. And I want to show a short video here of what a discipleship training school is. Thank you. That last little clip there was one of our discipleship training school students from the fall, and he had made a previous commitment to the Lord in his life, but kind of strayed away from that. God was pursuing him and drew him into the DTS with us, and through the DTS really felt this, I want to recommit my life to the Lord. And so we got to baptize him along with one of our other students as well and just celebrate the things that God was doing in his life. So we mobilize, we train, and we send. And so this is leading groups of students and volunteers to the nations, both short-term and long-term, to preach the gospel to the unreached. In the past few years, we've had teams in Nepal and Pakistan, Thailand, Cambodia, Burma, Kenya, Mexico, Turkey, Albania, Egypt. Those are just off the top of my head. There's probably a few that I'm missing. And so we are committed to sending teams and also building long-term teams. So like I said, we have a goal of in the next 10 years to plant 10 long-term teams in the nations. We have a team that's shaping up for Cambodia. They'll probably get launched out next year. We have two teams that are currently in process for Central Asia. And yeah, I won't mention the name of the countries, but two teams that are going to Central Asia long-term. And so these are teams that we are looking at some of our best staff and saying, you're called to go to the nations, let's get you there, regardless of what it kind of cost us here, but we're gonna send you and send you out and really stand behind you. And so as we have students coming to our discipleship training school, we're sending them to the nations as part of their schooling with us. And as they engage with that, we're asking them and we're championing them to evangelize, to pray, to worship in these dark places. And they serve in ways that they may not expect. It's uncomfortable. It's unscripted. It's unknown. But that's why they're here. And that's the cost of the Great Commission. There are billions of people who have not yet heard about the goodness of Jesus and thousands of languages that don't have the Bible in their language. Sharing the gospel is often uncomfortable, but for a lost and broken world, the gospel is the most comforting news of all. Just in the past 12, maybe 15 months, we've impacted 10 nations through 14 international outreaches of over 100 students and volunteers and staff going to those nations. So we just wanted to start by sharing a little bit about kind of why I'm Lancaster, why we exist, what all we do, but we want to take the rest of our time this morning and just share some of our journey, some of the things that God's been doing in our life over the past few months, and over the past year, and give you an update on that. So we've been serving with YM Lancaster for a little over 3 years now, and it's been really incredible to see the way that God has been working in Lancaster, in this area, as we're working with youth groups and doing evangelism, but also the things that he is doing in the nations. I'm going to have Janelle share one of the things that God has been doing in our life over the past few months. She's up by the
chairs. Tag team, yes. something that we weren't expecting, I'm just going to share a wild testimony for our family. We call it our Jesus house. So we moved in September of 2023. Just to give you a little bit of context, we had been previously living, Austin and I had a house in Akron that we were blessed to be able to purchase before we joined staff with YOM, and we were enjoying our time there. We had been there for around 4 years and had kind of been dreaming with the Lord a little bit, like, you know what, right now, we're content. We really like the house that we're living in Akron. Hey, maybe, 3 to 5 years down the line, it might be nice to have some more bedrooms. We do feel called to do foster care and potentially adopt out of that in the future. And our house in Akron only had 3 bedrooms. So we're like, hey, it would be doable, but maybe it would be nice to move eventually, you know? So that was kind of where our heads were at. And then the Lord, man, can I just say his ways are so much higher and so much greater, and he just blessed us abundantly. So in September, of last year's when we moved, but during a youth retreat with Middle Creek Church where we attend, Austin was helping to share. It was in July of last year. He's actually sharing partially on hearing the voice of God. And I got to go along with him, and Holly came too for the retreat. And during the retreat, I woke up Sunday morning and just felt so strongly from the Lord that he spoke. And he said, I want you to look at the housing market this week and this week only. And I said, okay. Wow, that seems, you know, out of the ordinary, definitely something we weren't planning on, but I really feel that this is strongly from the Lord, so I submitted it to Austin, and we were talking and prayed into it. We're like, all right, let's do it. And we, just to give you a little more background too, we had a really busy week because we had just done the youth retreat. So that was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday through Thursday of that week, we were also helping to lead the vacation Bible school at Middle Creek as well with YWAM. So we knew it was going to be like a really wild and busy week, but we're like, you know, we'll just like look at the market a little bit that week, and had so much peace about it. And then Thursday of that week, wouldn't you know it, this house came up on the market, and the Lord just paved the way like only he can do. Because for us, I don't know if any of you have seen the housing market lately, but it is crazy. Like, I'm talking so competitive. And we live in Lititz now, and I was like, I would talk to some of my friends, and they would be like, honestly, houses are going for over $100,000 what they were listed at for some places. It's just crazy. Oh, but the Lord is amazing. So yeah, during that week, we just felt from the Lord to step out in faith. This house came up on the market, and it checked all of the boxes for us. More space, a nicer backyard, really nice living room where we can do just more hosting and other things. Yeah, so we met with our realtor. We were talking about stuff. We put in an offer based off of like the number that we felt the Lord had highlighted for us. And then partway through the process, our realtor looked at us and he's like, honestly, there's no way you should have made it this far. And we're like, we know, like totally. Like if this does happen, it's because the Lord is like literally like making a miracle for us to be here. So we just continued to pray. We had so much peace about it. And the Lord brought along financial provision like only he can do. We had an individual, one of our friends, who was able to give us a $50,000 loan at 0% interest, which is incredible. And then we had a bank that was willing to give us a loan and some other special gifts along the way. Yeah, and there were other offers put in on the house as well, but Ed, the previous owner, read over our letter, and I just felt prompted that it was for us. So it's just been incredible. We feel that, yeah, our Jesus house is genuinely what we call it. It's so cute, too. Hudson will just walk around, and he'll be like, okay, we're leaving Grandma and Grandpa's house. Where are we going to go? Back to Jesus' house. Like, it's just so fun. We believe that this house is designed with a purpose, and for us with the Lord, it's designed for hosting the presence of God, to be a place of discipleship and vulnerability, and to be a place for foster care and adoption in the future, and of generous hospitality. So it's just amazing to see the way that the Lord has blessed us, and out of us being blessed in this way, we're able to bless others. So another kind of wild part of the story. So we moved in, I think it was actually like around September 11th, and then a few days after we moved in, we had, this is two of our YWAM friends, they're on staff with us, this is Lydia and Sarah. They moved in with us a few days later because at the time, YWAM Lancaster was still really short on housing, and we needed more housing for our staff. So we had other people that we were able to house with us, which is amazing. And then a few days after they moved in, then we started our staff training for our DTS. So it was just really wild, just like a little bit of a whirlwind of events, but the Lord brought so much peace in the process, and it was amazing. We were able to host the students there a lot of times. This is us doing a Bible study here in our living room. And we would have our DTS staff meetings there once a week, our small groups there once a week. So it's just been such a blessing to have a bigger space to be able to host, to be able to yeah, just journey with the Lord and invite more people kind of into that process. So we are just so thankful. I will still have, like, I know it's months out since September, but I will still have just sweet mornings with the Lord where I'll be, like, in the house with the kids, and I'll just genuinely weep because, like, this was not on our radar at all, you know? Like, and I'm usually such, like, a planned person that, like, I look back and I'm like, I genuinely cannot believe that we live here. And it's just been amazing and incredible. And we're so excited to continue to be able to disciple and to host people and, yeah, for our home to be a place for the gospel to be shared and to go forth. So we're thankful that God paved the way for us like only He can do.
Yeah, this has been one of the kind of incredible personal testimonies of what we've seen God do in our life, that it wasn't something that we were expecting or planning, but just He came in unexpected and blessed this, and it's been a huge blessing to our family. But we really feel commissioned from the Lord that this house is not ours. It belongs to the Lord, and we will use it for His glory. And so to really have it as a place of discipleship, a place where we're hosting students and staff, short-term missionaries who are coming through and need a place to stay, and how can we use this place to really honor and glorify the Lord? So that's been one incredible kind of testimony from the past few months. Also wanted to share, like I said, Janelle and I were involved with the Fall Discipleship Training School. We had 21 students, and wanted to highlight just a few testimonies from that time. For us, it was really fun to be able to work with the students, to journey with them, and see the transformation. Discipleship Training School is a six-month school. The first 3 months is learning on our campus in Ephrata, and then the next 2 months are going to the nations, carrying the gospel, making God known. And so for us to journey with those students, again, seeing them come from a variety of places, walking through a variety of coming in, carrying hurts, brokenness, pain, wrong views of the Lord, but wanting to pursue God, and to see Him bring restoration in their lives was incredible. One of our students, about a year and a half ago, would have considered herself an atheist and had grown up in church, but slowly started distancing herself from the church. Really just thought Christianity is kind of a lifestyle, but it's not really, there's not really anything to it. There's no reality there. A lot of kind of hurt and bitterness towards the church. Her uncle is on staff with us at YWAM Lancaster and was telling her to do a DTS for a few years. And she always put it off, but one day she decided to look into it, ended up applying, and ended up coming to our Fall Discipleship Training School. And throughout that school, she learned about the character of God and who God is, what He is like. And she learned that God speaks and that she can have a real relationship with Him. God healed places of hurt that she had and perceived hurt from the church, and really brought restoration there. And at the end of DTS, looking back, she goes, I never would have known that what I have now was even a possibility before. So that's just one of the stories of our students being transformed, but coming from that place. And I don't think we even knew where she was coming from completely until the end of DTS. She shares this story of, hey, this is where I was at, and this is what the Discipleship Training School did and what God did in my heart throughout this time. I want to share another quick story. This is Faith. She was one of our students from the Fall DTS. And this is her actually sharing her story at our DTS graduation. But she went on outreach to Thailand, and they're in a few different locations. The one location they're at, she'd wake up every morning and walk down the road and sit by this rice field and watch the sun come up as she was doing her devotions with the Lord. So the one morning she sits down by the rice field, and this Thai man comes and sits down in the rice field and begins harvesting his rice. And she's like sitting here, and he's like where that chair is. So like pretty much sits down right in front of her in the rice field and starts harvesting his rice. And Faith doesn't speak any Thai, and this Thai man didn't speak any English. So Faith ends up kind of like motioning to him, essentially asking like, hey, can I help you harvest your rice? And he understands and says yes. So she sits down in the rice field with him and starts helping him harvest his rice. And then they do that for a little while. Then she has to get on with her day. They had things planned for that day. So she gets up, goes back, meets the rest of the team, and they go on with their day of ministry that they had planned. And a few days later, God really put it on Faith's heart to take a Bible to this Thai man. And so she goes out in the morning again. She takes one of her other YWAM students along and the translator, and she takes a Bible that they had in Thai. And as they're walking down the road, and the man's in his field harvesting his rice, and as they're approaching him, Faith just becomes overcome and starts just weeping, recognizing what she has to offer to this man. And she doesn't know his journey. She doesn't know his story. Does he know of the gospel? Does he not? And so she's just like, she described it as like ugly crying, just like can barely get a word out. And so she gets to this guy, and through the translator, kind of all she can say is, this book changed my life. And if you read it, it'll change your life. And hands in the Bible. And as Faith reflected on this story, she realized that obedience to the Lord doesn't just impact other people's life, but it also does something in our own heart as well. And then lastly from the school, I want to highlight another story. So we had a family come and do our discipleship training school. This is Stephen and Joanna and three of their kids. I don't think their other one made it in the picture. But they have four kids. They're from Poland. And God was speaking to them about setting some time aside to give to missions. And so their kids are 13, 10, 5, and 1. And they felt God was speaking to them to give time to missions. They owned a business. They owned a house. They sold their business. They rented their house. They picked up their whole family and flew over here to do a discipleship training school with us. And it was incredible to see as they walked in obedience to what God was calling them to see the Lord's faithfulness in coming alongside them and providing for them and sustaining them as a family. When they came to DTS, they weren't even sure if they were going to go on outreach with the rest of the DTS. Just because of the dynamics of taking a family of six on outreach, the dynamics of the cost of that. And as we continue to journey with them, they say, hey, we feel like God's telling us, take the whole family on outreach. I said, okay, we're believing in faith for you. So we looked at the numbers of what it was going to cost, and it was just over $20,000 for them to take their whole family with plane tickets and housing and all of that. And God provided in miraculous ways, and they have testimonies of the way that the Lord showed up in their life. And now they're calling back to their friends in Poland and saying, hey, is God challenging you to do this as well? Can you wrestle with what is your part to play in the Great Commission? And so Stephen's cousin's daughter is going to be coming in a week for our spring discipleship training school. And there's two other families that this family is friends with from Poland that are considering coming and doing a discipleship training school with us to be trained and to be sent into the nations. Just want to highlight quickly, I think we had shared about this last time we were here, but we've been working on a building project for about a year and a half now, and one of our biggest challenges at YWAM Lancaster, one of our biggest limiting factors, is our housing capacity. So as we have students come in, we're constantly shuffling people around and having to push some of our staff off campus and just different things. So we just completed 2 weeks ago, we got our occupancy permit for our dorm, and we have students showing up for our spring discipleship training school for a spring internship program that we run next week. And so this dorm will be put to use, and it's not about a building. It's not about having a nice space. It's about lives transformed and nations impacted. It's about 3.2 billion people who have never heard the gospel, and now we have more space to train and equip and send people to carry the good news to those who don't have it. So I want to share briefly about that. It's an exciting update for YWAM Lancaster. And then just thinking about some of what is next for us, as we've shared about the past few months, what God has been doing, wanted to share about the next few months, the things that we're stepping into. So one of the things, I had recently stepped into a role of training director, so that's overseeing all of the training programs that we run, our discipleship training school, and then also some of the advanced training that you can take after you've done discipleship training school with us. And so that's where our heart is. That's where our passion is. It's the discipleship of youth and walking alongside them to see them grow in this way. But it's a big role. And so definitely need the wisdom of the Lord to guide me in this. Another thing is that we had helped staff the fall DTS last year, and this coming fall I will be leading the DTS. We're hoping to have somewhere between 20 and 40 students for that DTS, and so we're really excited about leading that, and then also just continuing to host people and disciple them and mentor them along the way. So those are the few things that we're stepping into, and a few prayer points with that is wisdom to lead well. So God has given us things to steward, and we can't do it in our own strength. We are insufficient on our own, but the Lord has wisdom, and he graciously gives to those who ask. So wisdom to lead well, a healthy balance in ministry and family. So we have a young family. We love doing discipleship in our home. We love doing discipleship at YWAM. And so just trusting the Lord for his grace to lead us in how to balance those things well and walk in obedience to him. And then thirdly, just that God would receive his maximum glory. So that's in our lives. That's at YWAM Lancaster. We really want to see God honored and glorified. Thank you so much for listening, for partnering with us, for journeying with us. It's been such a privilege to have a community of people that rallies around us and believes in what we're doing and says, I'm going to invest in this. And so the testimonies that we've shared this morning from YWAM Lancaster, from us personally, you guys have invested in those, and you guys are a part of seeing those happen. And if there's a takeaway from this morning, it's just that we want to give you a fresh faith and hope for what God's doing, that God is moving, that God is working. And we get to, in some ways, be on the front lines of that and see what God's doing. But I believe each one of us could get up here and share for a morning about the stories of things that God is doing in our life. And so we just want to share a fresh faith for the things that God is doing. I don't know if anyone has any questions, but I'd love to give a little bit of space if anybody has kind of thoughts or questions on anything that we shared or didn't share. So summer of 2022, we did weekly tent revival meetings that YWAM Lancaster was kind of overseeing and running in partnership with a few local churches. And then it happened again last summer and then into some of the fall. We had handed off the kind of primary ownership of that. So there's another ministry, an individual who has worked with YWAM in the past. He's kind of running that. We're still serving on it, but we're kind of working with them. I think they're doing some. This past summer was at ECC, the church there. We had a big tent set up for those gatherings, and then I think for this coming summer, they're looking at doing those again, and there'll be an intentional week in August. That will be a week long of kind of like a youth camp in connection with these tent meeting revival gatherings. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Where is that dorm at that you built? Is that at Twin Pines?
Yeah, so that's on our property there, in the back. So there's actually two pole buildings there.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So there's essentially two pole buildings, mm-hmm. and we modified the interior and then added a little bit of footprint to join them together, but it's, if you would go in between kind of Paul B's and Tents for Rent, that driveway that goes back in there, it's back on that property. Yeah. Any other questions? And feel free, if you have questions, grab us afterwards. We'd love to chat and answer your questions in those in that way as well.
Yeah. I want to thank you for coming. It's exciting to hear what God's doing. But another thing that we enjoy is we like to pray over you when you come. So I don't know where you went, Janelle. If you could. If you want to bring the kids up, that's great. And we'd like to pray for you guys before you leave. Yeah. So we'll gather around you. And Mike, would you close us in? And if you feel led by the Lord to pray, yeah.